Okay, thanks everybody. Take your seats, ready for our next round. It's a theme, or I guess, or a goal of the Institute here for the researchers who are here and for the events to look for connections with the civic life, with policy, with politics, and the city of Paris. And in that line, it's been a real slice of luck for us to be able to have Madeleine Acquerin with us today from Wagon Landscaping. And as you'll hear, Madeleine, with her colleagues, has been working on the memorialization of the Novembre 13 attacks in 2015. Thank you so much for coming with us. Madeleine is trained as a landscape architect in Brussels, right? And she will tell you about how this extraordinary piece of work that is planned for just across the river from us unfolded.
Thank you. Thank you, John, for inviting me here. So, as you said, I'm a landscape architect from Brussels, but I live here in Paris for a while now. And I work in a studio called Wagon Landscaping. So I'm going to talk to you about a very special project that we're working on right now. It's the Memorial Garden for the victims of November 13th from 2015. So it's going to bring a new chapter after Sarah Ginsberger lecture from yesterday. So I think it will be interesting in that sense. Sorry for my English. It's the first time that I'm doing this presentation in English, so be gentle. So, as you may know, on November 13, 2015, horror fell on Paris. On this evening of recklessness and going out friendship, the city transformed itself into a kind of a battlefield. Today, I think every Parisian, every Frenchman remembers where he or she was on that night when they heard about the explosions at the Stade de France and the different attacks on the terraces and also in the Bataclan concert hall. So in memory of this tragic event and to remember it and maybe even not to forget it in some way, the associations of victims gathered together and decided to build a memorial. So they didn't want it to be a monument, they wanted it to be a garden, which is very interesting in a way because it's, I think, a first in France for a memorial to be in the shape of a garden, and they wanted to be something that is going to evolve over time. So they were accompanied by the city of Paris to choose a place for this memorial and to make up a competition to determine a team that would lead this project. So the competition was launched 2 years ago, and it designated our team as representative of the group and the winners. So we are now accompanied by a multidisciplinary team composed of architects, ecologists, lightning designers, engineers, but also a historian of memory, Jean-Marc Dreyfus, who specializes in mass trauma. And he's been accompanied us in this mission to involve the victims' associations, to bring a perspective of an historian on the culture of memorizations in the public space. And also, he is now recording all of the stages of this project for archiving. So we are currently well advanced in the project, and the first work will begin at the end of 2023 to be delivered in 2025 on the 10th anniversary of the attacks, so on the 13th of November. Before we intervened in this project, an exchange between the victims' associations and the city of Paris took place to determine the location of this square, of this place. The Saint-Gervais Square was one of the propositions of the city, and it has been chosen as the place for the memorial. As you can see here on the map, it's just right behind here, so you can also go. It's a 5 minutes walk from here, so it's very close. It's at the back of the center town hall with its forecourt on the Seine, and it's called the Place Saint-Gervais, and it's very close to the memorial of the Shoah. It's also very close to the forecourt of Notre Dame, from where all the mileage from France begin. And it's also very close to the 11th arrondissement, where all of the attacks took place, because all of the attacks on that day took place on the right bank. Here you can see some pictures of the place, how it is now. So it's mainly a car park. So it's not very well known of Parisians because it's more considered as the back of the town hall. But there's a very interesting figures on that square. There's, of course, the church, but also important buildings, the town hall, and this very important tree that I'm going to talk about a bit later. The choice of a place, it's also interesting because it's the Place Saint-Gervais is really near the quays of the Seine, and where you have lots of memorials already placed. So you have the, as I said before, the Mur des Justes right behind it. There's at the tip of the Île de la Cité the Martyrs of Deportation Memorial. And then further upstream you have the Armenian War Genocide Memorial and the Algerian War Memorial as well. So it's interesting for us in this context and by its design that the memorial garden fits into these roots of memorial and fits into its district. In the protected area of the Marais, which is right behind us, the Place Saint-Gervais is surrounded by a set of buildings with high heritage values. So you have the Saint-Gervais Church, and it's classified as an historic monument since 1862, such as the town hall here. And as I talked to you before, there is the elm on this place. It's the Elm of Justice. It's been mentioned in the 14th century already. It's a landmark in the city because the Elm of Saint-Gervais served both as a geographical landmark, as a meeting place for the population of this district, and as a land of justice. So it's a decisive element also in the choice of the associations to have this tree on the place as a representation of justice, and they wanted to respond to this tree with another tree, an olive tree as a representation of peace. So it was one of the things that they asked us to put in the place, is an olive tree that they've received during the events and that they are bringing to all of the commemorations since then. So the challenge of the project lies in the right balance between preserving the classical identity of the 19th century square and adapting it to current lifestyles. Finding a garden in the heart of this district gives an identity to this place that is right now very unloved, that Parisians, they do not longer know it exists. So it is not a question of museifying the place, but of enhancing the historical continuity of the square while welcoming in its center a memorial garden that can be appropriated by all visitors and passers-by. Because the associations really wanted this space to be open every day, all night, and that everyone could go there, sit there, and use it as a public space, not just as a memorial. It's a new park in the city. It's also a new way of finding shadow during the summer. It's a new way of living this space that has been really not known from the Parisians, and a way of commemorating also these attacks. So in this sense, an enclosed garden with a stone enclosure is for us an answer that allows both to affirm a mineral vision of the square seen from the outside, but also to register a space of square which offers the possibility of meeting on its surroundings. In its size and composition, the garden can be similar to the model of the renewed square, classic Parisian square. I'm going to talk now about the project in itself. So, as you may know, on the November 13, eight attacks took place on six different places in Paris, and in Saint-Saint-Denis. So there was the Comptoir Voltaire, the La Belle Équipe, La Bonne Bière, Le Carillon, Le Petit Cambodge, and Le Bataclan in the 11th arrondissement. And then there was, before that, the Stade de France explosion. So, actually, this evening, this night of November 13, it is a route of horror that has taken shape between the six places of the attacks. This now immutable and unforgettable circulation in districts of Paris, bruised by violence, blood, death, and an uncertainty that has not dissipated. Six emblematic places of Parisian life have been transformed and will never be the same again. We asked ourselves how to show this moment, how to show this geography that has moved over time and that Parisian knew before, but then it changed during that night. And we wanted to imprint that in the memorial garden. So for us, there are two completely knotted and inseparable and yet completely antagonistic elements. It's the harshness of the moment and of this frozen time of announcement, of expectation, of terror. It's the hardness of the stone, a hardness that only stone can express. And at the same time, there's the fluidity of the moment, of the vast movements and wanderings of and flights and returns of the people. It is the crossing of Paris by the rescuers, the police, the soldiers, the evacuations of the wounded, the bodies towards the hospital, etc. So you have stone hardness and fluidity, two elements that are used to signify the Memorial Garden project. So to express this hardness, this fluidity, and this modified geography, the plan of the six sites, the eight places of attacks, and their close environments, are borrowed from the general plan of the city to compose the structure of the garden. We recognize ourselves in it. We get lost in it too. So these so familiar places, taken out of their context, evoke this daily elsewhere, experienced by everyone that night of November 13, of Paris that we do not recognize, of an unreal Paris. With the same orientation, real orientation of the sites, and carried over to the site of the garden. On the same scale, these six emblematic places in the history of Paris become the mold of the memorial garden. Inside each of the six sites stands a stone stele, a higher stone, bearing the names of the victims who fell there. A small stone bench in front of each stele allows you to meditate. In the center, a garden emerges from the ground. The built masses are planted. The streets become the path of the garden. The roots, which we wish to be numerous, become the drawing of a Paris that is both familiar and also completely foreign. In our opinion, the memorial garden must cover both the function of a monument and a garden. It must be experienced in two ways, from its exterior, as a building in memory of the victims, from its interior as a place of appeasement, meditation, and life. It is up to everyone to live their experience in this environment, to choose to stay only on the outside and to observe a monument, or to make the choice to return and live the experience of the garden to come and meditate near one of the six steles. Here you can see the plan of the memorial garden, with the six sites that have been drawn into the place. So you can see that there are six different higher stones, representing the six places of the attacks. On this part, you have the helm of the justice that is facing the olive tree that represents the peace in front of the town hall there. So in the middle, you have the glade garden, and outside of it, you have the stone enclosure, as I told you. You could describe the garden in four layers. First of all, it's an urban base, because as I told you, the associations wanted it to be a public space and to remain a public space, to enhance it as it is now. Second level, the second layer is the enclosure of stones that makes it a garden also, because a garden is an enclosed space, as you may know. The third layer is a place of commemoration with the six stairs, the six stones that represent the places of the attacks. And then the fourth layer is a glade garden in the middle. Sorry. So first, the urban base. As I told you, the place needs to host daily uses and pathways to lead to different streets surrounding the place. So we are enhancing that by putting benches, pedestrian crossing in the neighborhood, and enhancing the perspective with the olive tree and the elm to the church. There are also two squares that are being built in front of the town hall and in front of the church to host new uses, but also to host commemorations. Second layer is an enclosure of stones. So as I told you, the stone represent the harshness of the moment, and we try to find the best stone to represent the Parisian soil, which is the granite, because every pathway that you're working on in Paris is made out of granite. So we chose it with the associations of the victims. It's a quarry in Bretagne, so in France. And every block and every slab and every paver of the project is going to be made out of the same stone, and it's going to emerge from the ground of Paris as one new element. Here you can see some pictures of this quarry. We went there to also speak about the extractions with the people that are going to extract and import it and fascinate it. So here you have a first view of what the memorial is going to look like in a couple of years, of course. So from the town hall facing the Church of Saint-Gervais, you can see here the olive tree in the first plan, and then the enclosure of stones and the glade garden with some stones emerging where the different commemoration sites are. So the third layer is a place of memory for commemorations. Sorry that I told you, two places in front of the town hall and in front of Saint-Gervais are designed to host commemorations in relation to the two trees on the place, the olive tree and the elm of justice. But there is also the place of memory for every day. So each stele, each higher stone, is going to be built kind of like that. They have different shapes, of course, because they are designed by the cadastre of the place of the attacks. So you have a stele on which you have the name of the place where the attack took place from the outside of the garden. On top, you have the plan of the site that it will be engraved on the stone. Back of the stele, in front of the stele in the garden part, you will have the names of the victim will be engraved facing a stone bench. And then at the back of the stone bench, you will have a rocky garden. It's the translation from the stone to the garden. It's a very interesting space, this rocky garden, because at the beginning and the first years, you will have a lot of stone emerging, but then it will evolve. And such as Eric told us yesterday, it will evolve with mosses and lichens. It will not look the same in a couple of years, and even more in 5 to 10 years, of course. So here you can see some of the details of the stones that we're going to put on the memorial. They are quite big, so it's a technical issue also to bring them here. We are now facing a new challenge. It's the engraved inscriptions that are going to be put on the stones. So as Sarah told us Yes, told us yesterday. It's very difficult to choose the way that the names are going to be engraved and the sentence that are going to be used. So right now we're really discussing with the associations to find the better technique, first of all, to engrave these names, but also to find the typography, to find the sentence in which we can commemorate the people that did not die, but that are, were still wounded, are like parallel victims of these attacks. And then also the choice of the compositions of the names, because we're used to some compositions in the public space here in Paris, but while talking with the associations, some of them want every name to be very disconnected from one another, and then others find it more interesting to have all the names being put together. So it's a very hard question right now. And as you can see on the stele of the Bataclan, you have a lot more names than on the stele of the Comptoir Voltaire, where no one really died. So what do we put on this stele? Do we put just a sentence commemorating the wounded? And it's quite a subject, a topic right now. So here you can see another vision of the of the garden from the inside. So with the commemoration site here, here the stele of the La Bonne Bière et le Casa Nostra, with the rocky gardens in front. The fourth layer is of course the Glade Garden. It's a garden that is based on the sunshine of the square. So we did a study of the sunshine in the square, and it's in a very enclosed space with high buildings around it, with also existing trees. So that's been really interesting for us to find a vegetation palette that would go along with this sunshine and expositions. So here is kind of the different layers that you would have in the vegetation. So in the middle, as I told you, it's an idea to have an open space, really a glade garden that connects the olive tree to the Elm of Justice. So it's gonna be a sunny meadow of perennials. I'm not gonna go into details, but the idea is to have a matrix of grasses and shrubs that are gonna stay there the whole year, and then scattered perennials that are gonna have like an effect of events all the year. Then you have the rocky gardens in the shades and the rocky garden of the sun. As I told you, they are always associated with a place of commemoration. And what is interesting in this garden is that, yes, they're gonna evolve with the stones surrounding them. And then we also wanted to add a very special feature. It's the idea of bringing life with birds. So we really studied the idea of bringing birds into this place. It's a very urban place, so it's very hard to find them. But we try to, with our ecologists, to understand which bird could be present in this space and how to make them come, how to welcome them, how to find in habitats, and also management gesture that we could put in place so that they will be fed, and also to put on shrubs and growth to feed the birds with little fruits and stuff like that. So it's also a wish that we have to host as many birds as we can in this place. And also we have a stone. We're trying to work with the stone engraving to put on some small baths for the birds so that they can feed also. So here you have another vision of the square from the Church of Saint-Gervais, facing the town hall with the Elm of Justice right here. There's also a great subject on lightning, of course, because it's going to be a night garden as well during winter and at night. So we we worked a lot with our lighting designers to find the best way to illuminate this garden. So it still needs to be a public space. So on the outside, you have very maybe normal kind of lighting for a city on the facades of the buildings. But then you have three different illuminations to remember also. So there is the gleams of memory. Try to translate that, but these are luminous halos in memory of the victims. So what I think is also very interesting is that we are doing a prototype of this garden. So according to what was said before, we are trying to really do a model one-to-one scale of the garden to understand how it works and how we can discuss it with the associations of the victims and the city of Paris. So here is a model of one of these gleams of memory. And the locations of the lights are going to be in the garden, and they are determined by the celestial vault of 13th of November. So the idea is really to have like these kind of candles emerging from the ground to evoke also the souls of the victims. Then you have different baller lights to guide people towards the main pathways. And then you have recessed floor lights to lighten up the stairs and the names of the victims during the night. So here you have a night garden vision plan of the site and the memorial garden. Actually, I'm finished here, so